today on a clear and present episode of the Morning Stream.
We don't want to feel bad for you.
N13 tickets are for sale.
Guys in parking lots hate the gaze.
G-A-Z-E. oldest person in the U.S. is now gone.
Shooting the dog to get your finger back.
Gleefully entering rehab.
Freddie Mercury is the guy to know when you want into a gay bar.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Tony, what are you eating now?
Fruitful bran.
Yeah, it's peaches and raisins.
Hey, Tony, that looks good.
It is. It's fruitful bran. It's apples and dates.
You just said it was peaches and raisins.
Well, it was.
Don't lie to your father.
Well, now it's raisins, apples, and dates.
Didn't you just tell your mother?
Hey, it is apples and dates.
Give me the box, Rosa. I'll decide.
Only Fruitful Bran has so many fruits, you get a different fruitful combination in every bite.
It's peaches, raisins, and dates.
So it changes.
Kellogg's Fruitful Bran. It's never the same bite twice.
We are trying to help you.
I don't want your kind of help.
Then I will have to take the gun.
This is The Morning Stream, or as we like to call it, Dingle Farkas McGillicuddy and Friends.
So who's Dingle Farkas McGillicuddy?
That would have to be you.
Okay. And your friends? All right.
Yes.
Fine. I'll live with that. Hey, everybody. It's The Morning Stream. Welcome back. Good morning. It's Tuesday, April 2nd, 2013. I hope you had a stupid April Fool's Day yesterday. It's 8:08 in the morning. Here's my problem with the April Fools. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, and I'm irritated with it. I don't like it. Oh, and there's Brian, by the way. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi.
This is Scott right over here. I told you about it. It bugged me that people were doing things ahead of time.
Yes, right. The Sunday night April Fools.
Yeah. Those people suck. Mm-hmm. Here's my bigger problem. Mm-hmm. People who carry it into the next day.
Right. Yeah,
that's
it goes both ways.
You got your 24-hour thing. Use it to whatever extent you want, but then you're out. That's it. It's not April Fool's week, April Fool's 48 hours. It's not any of those things. It's April Fool's day, Earth Day, one day, 24 hours, Brian. 24-hour,
exactly.
60-minute thing
is your window, your limitations, your
right. It's you live, breathe, and die in the space of that time. And if you're going to go past that or earlier than that, then you have broken the social contract that is April Fool's Day.
Sure.
So knock it off! I do get tired of April Fool's Day. I avoided most of it. How'd you do with the day?
Oh, I did pretty well. I think, you know what I get fooled by?
Mm.
Believe it or not. So after TMS yesterday, we had to run out and get a bunch of Coverville packages out to the post office.
Yeah.
And Tina's got Sirius in her car, and every once in a while we'll listen to Howard Stern. And he was talking about how, and in retrospect, it sounds like such an obvious April Fool's joke. And I don't know why I forgot that it was April Fool's Day and didn't think about this.
Right.
But he started talking about how... Sirius 101 is now going to be the America's Got Talent channel.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna that be does 20, sound ridiculous right
24
now.
Hours of America's Got Talent. And I have no idea why I didn't pick up on that. Why I was like, well, that's ridiculous. How are they going to fill 24 hours of that?
Mm.
And about 15 minutes later, I was like, oh yeah, of course. It's got to be an April Fool's joke.
Now. Well, the only one I fell for, we went to dinner last night with Kim's family because her brother is in town for a day. And he lives in Reno normally. So we were just like, well, let's, take the advantage and get everybody together. And so we went all to this restaurant and hung out. And it was very nice and great conversation and all that. But when we got there, his wife, who I haven't seen in forever, hugs me. And I notice, oh my gosh, she's pregnant. And I look down and she's got a belly like out to whatever. And she doesn't normally have that belly. She's a skinny thing.
It's a brand new belly.
Yeah, brand new belly. Papa's got a brand new bag right up front. And it's sticking way out and I'm hugging her and I go, oh my gosh. And I'm feeling it, like touching it. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, and it felt real to me. And I said, that's great. I'm so excited. They've got one little boy. And I thought, oh, I have a sister or a brother and I'm freaking out. And everyone's laughing their head off. And it's still not clicking with me that they're laughing at me because I think this is a real thing. And whatever pillow she had was like, you know, Spielberg had it made or something. Right. It's totally real.
Firm and
yeah,
didn't feel, you know, squishy like a Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah. And my brother-in-law who goes, hey, Scott, you should squeeze it super hard. You should just totally get in there and just give it a good one. And I went, it was still not clicking. Because you know what I think what it was right. is I had spent the entire day pretty successfully avoiding all the internet kinds of jokes.
Sure. Right. And I think that's why what happened to me, too.
Mm-hmm. So you get there and then you're caught unawares and you don't know what right. to do. So she finally revealed it was just a pillow. And here's the thing I remember most about the experience. She pulls it out.
Yeah.
And she hands it to me and everyone's laughing. And I take the pillow in my hands and the thing I notice and the thing I remember is how warm it is.
Ah.
It was toasty. Toasty
it's got
warm.
It's got a lot of Scott Johnson friction on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd been kind of touching it a little too much.
Talent on that belly is what you did.
I was getting real excited.
Now, does she do this specifically for April Fool's Day, or does she just do it to get better parking at the Blue Lemon?
That's actually a brilliant idea. I hadn't thought of that, and maybe that was what was up, but I think it was just April Fool's Day.
Okay.
Blue Lemon actually is, we got to take you to that. It's real casual, real nice, and just a really nice sort of Utah-only kind of place to go. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Maybe when you're here in April. Oh, mm-hmm. It is April. Maybe when you're here later this month.
Yes. Wow. 3 weeks.
Dude, well, 4 weeks. Look at this. On the 5th, which is what, this weekend?
Friday. Yeah.
Friday. 3 months till Nerdtacular.
Oh.
I know, right? Like, wow. That doesn't that seem a little bit bananas to you?
And I'm not even joking when I say, well, I probably should get started on writing some questions for Battle of the Frog Pants All-Stars.
Yeah, and I ought to get started on everything. Oh, my gosh. It's going to be nuts. Speaking of which, tickets are available now. Go to nerdtacular.com. There's a link there. Take you straight to the Eventbrite page. If you avoided all the Kickstarter-y stuff for tickets and you just wanted a ticket, you can get them now via that link. So nerdtacular.com. We got a thing of the day. Let's get going here with this here thing.
What?
Comes to us from Jordan from Toronto. More of a follow-up, Brian. Thought it was interesting.
I wonder if there's a Toronto in Jordan.
Probably. Aren't they all? Everything's all just in one big ball somewhere else where it's not America.
Right, yes.
Dear Steel and Bronze, that makes me older than you, right? No, it makes me younger than you. Because
the Steel Age, the Bronze Age is what you're going for there?
Yeah. Makes me just want to play.
I thought you were just a Superman clone from.
Bronze would be the worst clone, wouldn't it?
It would be, yes.
Yeah.
The Man of Bronze.
Man of Bronze. He's third place. He gets there kind of late. Doesn't really save anybody. No one remembers him. Dear Steel and Bronze, I'm a little behind in episodes, but the thing of the day about a week ago that we should feel sympathetic for people who got themselves into trouble rather than not caring because they caused the problem. I remember this. He said carting, but yeah. I think he means caring. I disagree. What about someone who drives drunk and crashes into their wife and she dies?
Mm.
First of all, that's a very specific
crashes into their
scenario.
Wife.
Look out, honey.
She came out of nowhere, officer.
I promise. I'm not drinking. I personally would not feel sympathy toward that person. Another example is if I was expected to feel sorry for an old man whose kids don't talk to him. Well, maybe you shouldn't have beaten them, is what he says, and they would still be with you. Why is he old? That's a weird...
right.
For an old man. Yeah, he's totally ageist.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for old people or drunks.
He says, I recognize that this is situational, but I thought I'd bring this up because it bothered me a lot. Love the show, though, Jordan from Toronto. All right, Jordan. I think that when people stop having the ability to show sympathy, empathy toward people, even though those people are either at fault or in some ways terrible, I believe it is actually possible for human beings... And I think it's a good thing. This is probably what separates us from being savages and douchebags. Mm-hmm. Is that if Brian here, let's say Brian suddenly went on, I don't know, a cocaine binge, and you went to a Walgreens naked, Okay. And you ran through the Walgreens naked with a razor blade. And as you ran through the Walgreens naked with a razor blade.
So basically a Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday. Right. you should see him on the weekends. You'd run through that building and you would just slice everybody you saw with a razor blade. You'd just see him and you'd cut him.
Okay.
And you'd cut yourself in between. And after all of this is done and the cops got there, you'd run out the back. And you would jump on top of the nearest car and you'd take a big dump right in their roof window. What do you call that?
Is there anything better than a Scott Johnson analogy? People,
let's say you're just doing all these deplorable things that should make everybody mad at you, and you're in trouble, and you've hurt people, and all this stuff. I still think it's possible in that extreme example to wrap your head around having some sympathy for your lot in life or where you're at or the terrible things you've done and what that must mean for you emotionally or mentally. It doesn't mean we forgive the thing you did or that the stuff you did isn't horrible and you shouldn't be punished accordingly. Mm-hmm. But for me to just say, nope, can't feel anything for that guy, forget it. I think that's weird. I think it's a little short-sighted. Now, if we used a real example, guy that shot people in Aurora, Colorado.
Right, yes.
It is a lot harder for me to say I have any sympathy for that guy. But
I want
to understand that guy. I want to understand why the hell did you do this? What led to this? What was the parenting situation? I feel like that's a kind of, not sympathy, but a kind of, trying to get your head behind stuff.
I don't know. I mean, once the action has been done, I understand wanting to kind of understand it, wanting to kind of wrap your mind around it, but I don't see in that instance, in the Aurora, Colorado shootings, I don't see a sympathy kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that's the point here, is that I think Jordan thinks that we're saying that sort of thing deserves sympathy, and we're not saying that necessarily. I think we were saying there's a level.
I mean, there's obviously a level. Right. There's the level of the guy who brings 16 items into the 12 items or less line at Walmart, and you kind of get ticked off at him. Right. And then there's the the level of, you know, the Aurora, Colorado theater shootings. There's basically, you figure out where your level is, and at that level, below that, you kind of feel bad for the person. You know that they're in that crap situation. They caused it themselves, but you still feel bad that they got themselves into that situation.
Yeah.
And
you said that pretty well. That's kind of how I feel.
And I think that, you know, there's also, it's not just the severity of the incident, it's also the closeness of the person. Like your description of me running naked through a Walgreens after a cocaine bender would be different than random pants around their ankles,
right,
hat sideways, right, Limp Bizkit blaring douchebag running through a Walgreens naked.
Right.
And pardon me if there are any Limp Bizkit fans out there who wear their pants around their ankles and their hat sideways.
Well, part of the sympathy,
I mean, no offense.
Of course not. Part of the Fred Durst forever. But part of the problem is, or part of the sympathy for me, for you as the guy who did that, is that when the cocaine wore off, you would show, or assuming you would, let's say you did, showed remorse. You felt bad about what happened. You are tormented by what happened. That breeds sympathy. When people have a conscience, when they react in ways that show remorse, that affects me in a way that makes me go, this is sad because this guy, he's got these issues, but I kind of feel bad for him because obviously he feels really bad about this. Now, when it's somebody like, you know, what's his name in prison with the swastika on his face? Can't think of his name.
Oh, Manson.
Charles Manson. Yeah. Who has zero sympathy, zero remorse, zero anything. He's just he just hates everybody and everything. Wants to watch the world burn. In the words of the butler on Batman. Can't think of his name. Alfred. You know what kissed Christopher Reeves in that one movie?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. Him. I'm saying the sympathy I have for people that are in rough situations like that is reserved for those who actually have remorse, who feel bad about what happened and are in a miserable state, or those who are who have serious mental disabilities that led to whatever they did.
Mm-hmm.
So this Aurora guy is claiming insanity by his lawyers, but I don't buy it.
Right.
Are there cases like that where that's a real thing? Absolutely. Probably. And in those cases, I guess all I'm saying is I don't like this hot water, cold water kind of mentality of everything's black and white. There's no, that is the one thing in my life I'm absolutely sure of, that the only absolute in life is there are no absolutes. Mm-hmm. And that means that there is so much gray in every freaking thing you do.
What a paradox, though.
Oh, listen, Brian, I know.
Because then that absolute then becomes...
What?
A non-absolute.
Holy shit! All right. I don't even know.
I think you figure out where that line is, and then you figure out on which side of that line Justin Bieber and Lindsay Lohan fall. Do you care? If they screw up their lives, do you care?
Well,
do you sympathize?
I get entertainment out of it.
Yeah,
but part of me also sympathizes a tiny bit. Like if Bieber does what
sorry for the monkey, actually.
Right, the monkey's in the real trouble. He's going to eat that date and be dead on the floor.
Won't somebody think of the monkey?
If we learn anything from Raiders of the Lost Ark,
that's right.
It's that Gimli can catch a date before it hits Han Solo's mouth faster than you can blink an eye. Anyway, thanks for the email. It's good stuff to think about. I don't know if I've even explained myself well, but it's just a thing. What else is going on? Oh, okay. Parking lot. Speaking of weird guys in parking lots.
Yes.
Saw a guy in a parking lot. I won't say what store because I think locals will know what I'm saying, and I don't want to cause a bigger stink than the guy already kind of is getting.
Okay.
But there's a dude outside of a certain place that I ran into and had to walk past.
So this guy's is known, like, if somebody in Utah might know.
They'll know this location and would go there and see that there's this guy there because I think he's doing it regularly.
It's regularly. Okay.
I could be wrong about that, but I don't want to tempt fate here. But anyway, guy standing in a parking lot with a little sign that says gay people. Or I can't remember the exact words. It's some anti-gay thing. And I'm walking by, and usually I just kind of walk by, whatever. I don't care. I got a day. I got stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking by, and I hear him talking and arguing with somebody else. Talking about how to get, and they're agreeing with him, these particular people, because who else would talk to him, right? Unless
sure,
you agreed.
Of course, yeah.
So they're all like, yeah, I'm gays and something, something, blah, and they're going to ruin this country slowly, bit by bit. We're just going down straight to hell because of them gays and their marriages and their whatnot. And we got to make a stand, right? So I walk by and I just said, stop for a second, and these other people are there, and I said to the guy, why do you care so much about gay people getting married? Why does that matter to you? Mm-hmm. Just a question.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like hey, why do you care? It wasn't like that.
Right, exactly. It wasn't combative.
I just meant like literally, genuinely, why do you care?
How does this affect you?
Yeah, personally? How exactly. That was my tone. Nobody answered me.
Really?
Nobody said anything. Because here's my stance has always been, I probably owe my dad for this, and we've talked about it on the show before. I don't care what you do. It's your freedom, too. I get to choose to marry my wife and eat my cake and, you know, mow my lawn or whatever it is. And you, if you're gay and you want to get married, dude, freaking go for it.
It's crazy that they didn't even have, I mean, usually they've got a canned response. Well, they're destroying the sanctity of the man-woman marriage as presented in the Bible page.
Well, I would have been ready for that one because my favorite answer
See,
to that is.
You were probably more prepared than they were.
I was, and I was ready for that response because I was going to, I'd say, well, what do you tell the dude up the street who wants to marry his 10 years girlfriend who's been beating her for the last 10 years, but they want to get married. You don't have a problem with that one, do you? You're all right with a wife beater getting married? You okay with that? But so I was ready for that. Didn't get the opportunity because they looked like deer. You hear the old deer in the headlights thing.
Yes.
But literally just kind of blinking at me.
Really?
And I thought, well, this is lame. This is you're standing out here protesting something. And the simplest of questions, why do you care about
gay
marriage?
Why are you protesting this?
And you don't have an answer for me? That weirded me out, Brian. I was like, ugh. I just kept going.
Talk about a glass platform or whatever the phrase is.
I felt like
I just invented one.
Like a symbiote worm was going to jump out of one of their ears and attack me because they were like zombies at that moment. They just were like not themselves. So I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what was going on there, but dude in the parking lot, if you're listening, be prepared to at least answer your point.
Bob, you answer this one. No, Susie, why don't you take this?
Well, I think maybe the way I said it or the sentence structure or something hinted at the idea that, well, I mean, maybe I changed somebody's mind. Maybe they realized, oh, yeah, why are we
protesting this?
Yeah, what am I doing here?
I was just doing this because I was getting some attention, but now that I think about it.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
It's all a little bit weird.
Well.
All right. Well, time will tell. I'm going to go back there and see if I see that guy again, just for the heck of it.
All right.
Stump a Trek nerd? Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Sort of. Sure.
Well, what about this? Aren't we talking about this, or are we saving this?
What'd you hear about this? What's this?
This that I'm clicking on right here.
Let's see the top of the show stuff.
Right
here. Yeah. We mentioned it earlier. We'll say it again. And 13 tickets on sale.
Oh, we did talk about it.
Yeah, we did a little bit. Nerdtacular.com. Doesn't hurt to say it again.
Okay.
Get your tickets. If you didn't get them with Kickstarter, now's your chance.
I was probably looking at the tadpole.
Two solid days of good times in Snowbird, Utah. The beautiful mountain resort, summer resort at this time of year. There's a zip line, Brian.
I can't wait.
There's a gondola thing, tram deal, if you want to ride on that.
I'm doing the
zip line. Yeah, zip line's cool. It's a long one, too, and it scares me. I probably will not be doing the zip line.
Wow, really?
I don't like heights. Not a fan of the heights.
But you're all, you're tethered in.
Oh, yeah, you're strapped in good. But yeah. I'm terrified of heights. So, I don't know. I might. You may talk me into it. We'll see. We'll get day one over with, and then we'll see how I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it's all good. Nerdtacular.com. Go check it out. It's Daryl time. All the time is Daryl time, but right now, specifically Daryl time.
Stop. Daryl time.
All right, here we go. Let's give him a call. We got a ringing phone. Here we go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
Dream, a novelette by Jeremy Waters, available for 99 cents on Kindle. Avery Dover produces both legal and illegal drugs with his brain. Cord, a new branch of the government in charge of the management over XNA, employs him to create one of them, a powerful medication that circumvents the very need for actual sleep. Buy it now at bit.ly/bookdream.
Fantastic. Yes. Daryl, are you there?
That sounds exciting.
I could be.
You could be. I think I can.
Is it a hologram of
Daryl? You're like the doctor. We can only see you in the... didn't he get out at one point? What was the deal on Voyager? He could move about the ship freely for a while there, couldn't he?
About the ship, yeah.
Yeah, because he has his emote. I can't even talk. His mobile emitter thing.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But that didn't come till later. Like, wasn't there... The first season or two, the big joke was the doctor could never leave sick bay or something.
I think it was about 10 episodes in or so.
Oh, okay. Sooner
they
than
realized that this was a bad idea.
Yeah. Like, well, if we really want Robert Picardo to earn his money here, probably ought to have him walking around a little bit.
Please explain your medical emergency. State the nature of your medical emergency.
I really do. If you really, really, I know this is controversial, and there was a big poll recently where he won best doctor in Star Trek history. I really do think I like him quite a bit as a concept in that mm-hmm. series.
Sure.
Maybe more than just about anything else about Voyager. I think that was one of the most solid ideas they had. I know it's hard to say McCoy isn't everyone's favorite doctor, or, you know, I guess Crusher's all right. But if you put a gun to my head.
Poor Dr. Phlox.
Right. But if you put a gun to my head and said, pick a doctor now, it has to be your favorite doctor right now, who would you want to have on the ship? I think I'd go the Picardo doctor. I really do. I think I like that his idea, and I like the way he handled things, and he was funny and interesting.
It's hard for me not to pick Crusher because there were so many episodes where her character was integral and in a not medical instance.
That's true. They'd send her out on missions and stuff. Yeah,
right. Or she, you know, she'd be the last surviving pilot of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Oh, we've never needed a crew more than two people.
I remember that one. That was a weird one.
That was a weird one.
And she was the only person in the entire ship was the bridge at one point.
That's right.
Yeah. What was that called, Daryl? Come on, trivia man.
That was the one where the, let's see, what was that called? I don't know. The Incredible Shrinking Universe.
Perfect. With Lily Tomlin. All right.
Knucklehead says it was Remember Me. Was that it?
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take Knucklehead's word on that. Daryl, it's good to have you back. He's the Trek nerd, everyone. He answers hard trivia Trek questions. It's hard to say fast.
Sure.
Here on the morning stream, and today is no different. Let's get right into it. Daryl, here's your question. In the Next Generation episode, Captain's Holiday, Captain Pickard is taking a trip to Ryza, the pleasure planet, where he encounters a Ferengi who believes Picard is working for Vash. Vash.
Vash.
Hello, Vash. What is the name of this Ferengi? Is it A, Sovak, B, Zek, C, Ishka, or D, Pell? Again, that's Sovak, Zek, Ishka, or Pell. It's kind of a hard one, honestly.
But an easy one for you to pronounce.
Yeah, why not? I did all right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud. I mean, Ferengi words aren't hard for me. Just real English ones that exist in our dictionary.
Have you been injured in an accident? Visit the law firm of Sovak, Zek, Ishka, and Pell.
And we're here for you. Think it even was your fault? That's okay. We'll take on your thing. You don't pay us anything unless you win.
That's right.
All right, Daryl, while you think on it, real hard. Let's pull up. Oh, man, I'm always late with this. Here we go.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Lots of foodie.
We have in our hands the final of the Unreal snacks. Mm-hmm. Unreal 54, candy-coated chocolates with peanuts, unjunked. And these are, I meant to do a comparison today and I forgot, but.
Oh, yeah.
200 calories for this little pack. It looks like 200 calories is the rule with these. That's what they've all been. And it's basically a peanut M&M ripoff that has none of the, it doesn't have the corn syrup or the hydrogenated shimmy sham.
No, I mean, you look at the first few ingredients, it's chocolate, skim milk, cane sugar, cocoa butter, milk powder, organic blue agave inulin.
No artificials, no hydrogenates, no corn syrups, no preservatives, and no, what's a GMO? What's that?
Genetically modified organisms.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's like Dax. I like to keep it Star Trek themed, Brian.
Right. Or Courtney Stodden.
You're right. I hear she's really going down the tube lately. Like she's doing.
She's just really just continuing her journey down the tube.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a slow move. It's like that's digestion right. In the Sarlacc pit.
I think you're probably referring to the same photo I saw yesterday, and I don't know if that was an April Fool's joke or what.
Oh, it could have been. The one where she's barely being censored on the front of some magazine.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it looked like it was Corpses and Nudes magazine or something. I think that was I'm hoping that was an April Fool's joke.
Well, Brian and I are always running into the same.
I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. All right, I'm going to eat this green one because when we were kids, I was told the green ones made you horny. Remember that?
These colors are weird.
Yeah, they are a little bit weird, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
They're
they
like,
can't use the traditional M&M colors. Those are... registered trademarks.
That may be actually some truth to that. But I also think these are just kind of more hippie-like. Like, these are more, I don't know, these are like...
Yeah, like, the colors come from beets and oranges and foot fungus.
Right. And they just create a more dull-looking color. These are less bright.
They really do. They are like... Mm. Yeah.
Oh,
all right, I'll
lick
this for Cleo.
That's way more peanutty than chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I better eat one then. Home.
Once again, these are great.
They are.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of peanut M&Ms, and I'm even more of a fan of these.
These are better, dude. Oh. I'm going to Target. That's it. I'm going to Target. And I'm not saying the guy was in the parking lot at Target, by the way. I'm not saying that. I might be saying that, but I'm not saying that.
I'm a big fan of these Unreal things. These are good.
Mm-hmm.
These are really good. All right. Mary and the Hendersons, you win. Thank you for sending those. That was fantastic. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shipments we've gotten. By the way, here we have some Swedish candy coming and something weird from Russia.
Swedish candy?
Swedish? Yeah.
We did get another package of stuff, didn't we?
I might have.
I want to say that there was another, another box of food on
the
old ping pong table.
I haven't opened it yet, but yeah, something's over there. Mm-hmm. All right, Daryl, let's celebrate a birthday. Who was born on this day? That had some connection to Star Trek, yeah.
That would be Tony Guma is 51 today. He played Lou the bartender in the last Star Trek movie from 2009.
Whoa.
Wrapped in plastic.
Fantastic. That's great.
Tony Guma.
Daryl, you know what my favorite thing about Daryl, speaking of the movie? Every day, Daryl has something to say of consternation about some new image that was released for the new movie coming out this year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I love it because... while the rest of us are slobbering all over ourselves, Daryl remains staunch in his skepticism of the hype. He wants to be truly entertained. He wants true Star Trek goodness, but he is unwilling to accept everything at face value. And I like that. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yes, I question everything.
Yeah, do. Question all things. Yeah.
including submarine enterprises.
There was a big conversation on Twitter yesterday about the SeaQuest boat or submarine. If it suddenly went into space, what people would say about that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think it's a good comparison. All right, well, good stuff, and happy birthday to that person who you mentioned, who I've already forgotten about. Let's get to the question again. The question was, who was, in this episode, Captain's Holiday, who was the Ferengi that talked to Picard about working with Vash? I don't like, that word makes me uncomfortable.
Vash?
Vash.
Yeah, I can see why.
You know why? You know
why. It sounds like you're about to say something else, doesn't it?
Vashgina. Right?
Yes.
Not to get all technical on everyone, but...
Vashjeje.
Vashjeje. I come to Risa to wash my Vashjeje. It's the pleasure planet.
That's right.
All right, Sovak, Zek. Zek? Did I just say wash my Vashjeje on the air? I did. I apologize to the world. Sovak, Zek, Ishka, or Pell? What was the name of this damn Ferengi?
That's what your dog does at 3 a.m.
It's true. Last night, we usually have the dog in a kennel because she's not that she can't be out free roaming. It's because she licks herself all night. You just hear it. So we put her in the kennel, but last night we forgot. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up. Under the bed, I hear a shaking collar. And then I hear this like... for like 20 minutes. I'm like, Daisy, what are you doing down there? At 3 o'clock in the morning, anyway.
It's like... Well, everyone's asleep. I guess it's my opportunity.
It's my time to shine. Okay. So, where were we? By the way, I think a Vash would be a great name for a parrot for some reason. Don't you think?
What?
Vash really? The parrot? Yeah.
Caw!
Okay. Oh, they don't do caws, do they? They just say things. They repeat you. All right, Daryl, sorry. Sovak, Zek, Ishka, Pell.
Okay, well, the only one I wrote down was Sovak, and that sounds like a Vulcan.
Sounds just like a Vulcan or a Romulan or something.
Yeah, and I think I remember when I first heard that name, I thought, that's not a Ferengi's name, that's a Vulcan's name. That's dumb. So I think it's that.
You think it's Sovak because it sounds the least like a Ferengi. Fantastic.
Yeah, and for that reason, I think it's stuck in somewhere in my mind. If I'm wrong, then...
Is Nom or Gom or whatever his name was in DS9, is he still your least favorite character in the show?
Oh, Nog. Yeah,
Nog,
probably.
Yeah. Yeah, not a fan of Nog. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind Nog. He was all right. I liked him better than... Oh, wait. Was he the kid, Ferengi?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I hate the kid, Ferengi. Never mind. You're right.
Yeah.
You're totally right. He hung out with...
Kid, they just don't know how to do kids in that whole franchise.
Star Trek is weird with the kids.
Yeah, kid Klingons are lame. Kid Ferengi are lame.
It's the curse of Clint Howard, dude. That's what that is. All right, well, let's find out.
Even
Charlie X. Let's find out if you are correct. Is it Sovak, judges?
Congratulations!
Daryl's nailing it.
You're a winner!
The Ferengi is named Sovak. He believes Picard is working with Vash. And confronts Picard while he's trying to read a book. He wants Vash as well as a disc with a map that leads to an alien artifact. Picard says he has no knowledge of this. Sovak does not believe him. Here's a clip of their first meeting. And by the way, this is the episode where Picard is trying to get away because he just got done being a Borg. Remember that whole deal? Mm-hmm. And this was, I remember, supremely disappointing at the time because you've just done a two-parter or more. I don't remember how long it went. But you did this big, long Borg thing, and it was fantastic. Some of the best writing in the series, one of the greatest villain things of the series, all that stuff was great. And then this basically go to the pleasure planet and become Indiana Jones for a day was the follow-up, and I found it supremely disappointing. Anyway, here it is. Here's a little bit of that.
I am rapidly losing patience with you. I demand you talk business.
Fine Ferengi demands carry little weight with me.
Obviously, you've never dealt with my people before.
On the contrary, all too often.
Then you know the Ferengi are not to be trifled with.
Or trusted.
You dare to insult me?
I advise you to listen closely, for I will not say this again. I came to Risa for a holiday, nothing more. I have no knowledge of this woman of whom you speak, nor have I set eyes on any disc.
Expect me to believe such feeble lies?
I don't care what you believe.
This is not over yet, human. The disc is mine. And so is the woman. Remember that.
That's kind of like terrible dialogue.
Yeah, it really is.
So you can see what I mean. Like, this is a bad follow-up to Locutus of Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Depressing. All right. Well, Daryl, you did it. 2 days in a row. My goodness, you're on a roll here. Daryl is, don't forget, the Trek Nerd on Twitter, and has things to say about Star Trek just about every 5 minutes. So follow him on Twitter for that. Also, thisweekintrek.com is where you'll find the show, and on iTunes and other places. It's called This Week in Trek. It's about Star Trek. Daryl, give us a quote.
Beat any good books lately?
Beat any?
Eat.
Eat any good books.
I think that's Q talking to Worf.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm gonna, just to be different, I'll say Riker to Worf for no reason other than I'm wrong.
Brian wins again.
Damn it. I knew you were right on that. You heard me, right? Space Hands said it.
Space Hands.
Krusty Space Hands. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Shea Radio's Procaster AM transmitter, broadcast to any AM radio. It's like the Mr. Microphone. It's FCC approved, no license needed. Range is 1.5 miles or more. Use it to rebroadcast podcasts or any other content via AM radio. Listen, if you want to have your own radio station, this is your chance. To learn more, check us out at shearadio.com. That's C-H-E-Z radio.com.
Fantastic.
Have they contacted you to let me know, or let you know if I'm pronouncing it right? Is it Shea Radio or Shez Radio?
I bet it's Shea, but I have not. They've not said so. They could call and confirm. We did. They wanted to do four consecutive
maybe
spots.
Maybe it's Chez.
Chez Radio.
Chez Radio.
It could be Chez Radio. C-H-E-Z, everyone. You got that.
That's right.
Elsie Thompson, oldest person in the United States. We have talked about her before.
Yes.
Died at the age of 113.
Aww.
I know. 113 years old.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. Even the top 13 years on that. 13 years is a long time in someone's life.
It's a long time. We're not even to middle age, if that's the case.
That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah, we wouldn't even be close yet. We'd be...
Yeah. We'd be 10 years off or 12 years off of middle age.
Ooh, let's not. I don't like the idea, Brian, that we are rumbling toward. Think about it. But at 40, it's like, oh yeah, that's cool still. You guys are all right, you know.
Sure.
But rumbling toward 50 makes me want to fart blood.
Yeah. Time passes. There's nothing you can do, and we all have our time on this world. It's our job to do what we can
with that.
Do the best that we can with the time that we have.
Listen, Gandalf. I understand.
You shall get old.
I say things by singing.
Listen, Frodo. I can't do it. And suddenly my Gandalf is a bit like...
It's Ethel Merman.
Yeah.
You'll be great.
You'll be great. There's a cave troll. Oh, don't go. We better wait.
Let's see. She died at 113. The oldest person in the United States has died at age 113, just weeks before her 114th birthday. A spokesman from Elsie Thompson's church in Clearwater, Florida, says she died on March 21st. The Gerontology Research Group. Oh, I'd be like geriatric. So gerontology, whatever. Mm-hmm. Which verifies age information for Guinness World Records, listed Thompson as the oldest living U.S. citizen after January's death of 114-year-old Mamie Reardon in South Carolina. We're living longer here in this country.
Yeah, we are.
Even the outliers are living longer. I don't know what the longest, I wonder if this article goes into the world's oldest.
This sentence just does not make sense. Mm. The Gerontology Research Group, which verifies age information for Guinness World Records, listed Thompson as the oldest living U.S. citizen after January's death of 114-year-old Mamie Reardon of South Carolina.
Well, she was meaning that person was the oldest up until then.
Oh, gotcha. So it's not just so it's the oldest living. Okay, right. That's the keyword right there.
And she is the cutest old lady, by the way.
Yeah. Not the record for who lived the longest, but who is still alive and the oldest.
Exactly. Gotcha. I mean, look at her in her picture. I just want to hug her and squeeze a little toot out of her. She's so cute.
Yes.
Oh wow! Don't look at the picture below all this though. The guy with
the
tumors on him. Ugh.
Look at that link, dude.
Let's see, where is it? It's still loading. Oh, wow.
I feel really bad for that guy.
Yeah, that guy's...
He looks like a mutant. Like a, I'm genuinely like an X-Men kind of thing.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah, I've seen a documentary about people in, God, I can't remember, South America, I believe, that have, maybe it's Africa, who have, who look like they have bark.
Oh, wow. Bark skin?
Their skin is turning into bark. Yeah. Oh, no, weird. It was India. It was Southeast Asia.
What was causing it?
It's just a genetic thing. It's like a.
It's not like they're adapting and becoming bark people. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. What was I going to say here about this woman here? I was going to look at something. Oh, check this out. She was born in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania on April 5th, 1899.
Wow.
1800s she was born.
Wow. She saw the turn of the century. The turn of the first
turn of the century. She saw
everything. Well, not the first, but the.
She saw everything.
She's seen two turn of the centuries.
Yeah. I mean, she. Oh, that's.
Turn of the century and a turn of millennium.
That's just crazy.
I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're saying either. she has a son and four grandchildren. Her son's got to be pretty old. Right? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, weird. Yeah. But she seemed really nice. Seemed like the kind of lady I'd love to sit and chat with for a minute.
Oh, totally.
Luis Brignone. Another name. These names are just Brignone. Ridiculous. Luis Brignone. Shoots dog to get son's finger back.
Oh.
Come here, Rufus. Bang, bang.
Jeez.
A father in Bradenton, Florida. Oh, my gosh, Florida.
Florida.
Took matters into his own hands Friday when he shot Sassy, the family dog, to retrieve his son's finger from its stomach. Luis Brignone Sr., age 41, killed and cut open the Malamute wolf after it swallowed 11-year-old Fernando Brignone's pinky. This is according to WTS or WSTP. Mm-hmm. That's really good if you put it in your engine, but you got to do it when the car's new. The boy who stuck his finger in the dog's cage was then airlifted to a local hospital, but doctors could not reattach the digit. Instead, they grafted skin from his forearm onto the wound. Brignone.
We didn't need to kill the dog. I mean, they could have, you know, surgically removed the finger from the dog's stomach. But then the fact that even after shooting the dog and retrieving the finger,
yeah,
they still couldn't reattach. It's like, wow, okay,
it's
good
job. Too mangled, too thrashed, and now your dog's dead.
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have the dog in a cage. I don't know what's going on. There's something more going on here. Why would that dog do that?
And wolf, you know, well, I mean, I guess it's a hybrid Malamute wolf breed, but I don't know, those dogs that have some wolf in them, mm-hmm. and I've known somebody who had a wolf puppy. They can have a side to them. They can have they can revert.
They can go wild kingdom.
Yeah,
on you.
A little feral on you.
Well, it says they took action after hearing his son screaming in the yard. Boy's 13-year-old brother, Lewis, had hit Sassy with a stick to get him to release Fernando's finger. That's when the father, quote, unquote, popped the dog.
What? Wait.
Shot him, I guess, is what they mean.
All right, HuffPo. So, the boy's brother, 13-year-old brother, Lewis, hit Sassy with a stick to get him to release Fernando's finger. But didn't they get it out of the dog's stomach?
Yeah, but he killed the dog first, then... So I think what had happened is he hit the dog to get him to drop the finger.
Oh, and they didn't? Gotcha.
They
okay.
skipped over that because the writing is amazing on HuffPo. Hell of a good piece of work there.
At the Huffington Post, you'll be confused by it here first.
I'm even more confused because they've named a boy dog Sassy. No wonder he bit you.
That would kind of get me angry too.
Yeah, piss me off. Tweaked Audio sponsoring this fine program. This program we like to call The Morning Stream. They get their name all over it. TweakedAudio.com is where you want to go, and you want to use the code STREAM at checkout. Get 33% off any of their earbuds. The mic'd ones, the ones that don't have mics in the middle of them, the natural ones, the other ones that look all cool, the parkour ones, whatever. 33% off everything right now, and a lifetime warranty at TweakedAudio.com. All right. Man, I should be more ready. Here we go.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by...
Love curious cartoon creatures? Then you'll love Egypts, a collection of curious creatures. Born in the highlands of Scotland, these weird and wonderful creatures are even rarer than the famous haggis. Due to their incredibly stupid nature and natural curiosity, they now have been collected together for their own safety and for your enjoyment. Come along to egitsonline.co.uk. Choose your favorite creatures, comment on them, rate them, and you could win prizes. That's EEJITS-online.co.uk.
Now, this reminds me of something, but not because it has anything to do with this or has any kind of connection in the way I'm going to tell you, but it reminds me of somebody was telling me the other day about the Smurfs, I guess, at one point. Used to have, they have a, there's an episode where these black Smurfs come. Mm-hmm. And it's this super racist episode where the black Smurfs are, they're trying to convert them to be regular blue Smurfs. And they have to do all kinds of, they're like zombies kind of.
Really?
And they have to cure them from being black to being, yeah. And apparently you can't find this anywhere. And the only version that you can really find is one where they recolored all the cells and they were purple or something or some dark, you know. Some weird.
That's crazy. Color.
Yeah. It's weird. Wow. Weird stuff. I mean, you know, it was the 50s or something. It was the French original.
It was the original Belgian.
Belgium, right?
Belgium, man. That's Belgium.
Right. Whatever. I'm still bugged they don't put pants on Lady Smurf. What's her name? Smurfette. That's it.
Smurfette. Well, it'd be too time consuming.
Yeah. When you're wouldn't it though? With, when you're whole.
When you're the only woman in a.
We need to reproduce.
A village full of men.
We need to keep this village alive. Corey Monteith. You don't know that name, do you?
I don't know that name. It's the Glee Kid. I know why I don't know that name.
Yeah, it's the Glee dude, the main Glee kid. Played the football player, reluctant Glee singer on Glee. Still does, I guess.
Oh, yeah, okay. I do now see a picture of him. Yes, I know who this guy is.
He's the main dude. He entered treatment for substance abuse. Glee star Corey Monteith has checked into rehab for substance abuse treatment, reports People magazine. The 30-year-old actor has voluntarily admitted himself to treatment, his rep told the magazine, adding he graciously asked for your respect and privacy as he takes the necessary steps toward his recovery. Monteith, who has been dating his Glee co-star Lea Michele since February 2012, has discussed his battles with addiction in the past. In June 2011, he opened up to Parade magazine, telling the magazine that he acted out as a child and skipped school to get drunk and smoke pot before dropping out at the age of 16. I burned a lot of bridges. I was out of control. I also punched Todd Bridges. He told... why that?
I thought of and Todd Bo Bridges. Bridges.
And Bo Bridges, too. Neither one liked it. Let's see. He told Parade, adding that he had a serious drug problem at the time and was doing anything and everything as much as possible. So apparently that guy's been a little out of control.
I guess so. He's been getting his own Glee.
Yeah. You know, I have a belief that if Hollywood in general could all just write down, like, I think it should be a rule that everybody in Hollywood, before they die, they have to write a book about everything they ever did. I think it would be the gnarliest thing you ever read in your life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I really do. And I think it goes way back. I think like the old rumors that Katharine Hepburn was secretly going to like weird bondage lesbian bars and stuff at night and being snuck in there and all these kinds of things. I think you would hear just the most crazy stories if this stuff ever came out.
Probably.
I'm not saying I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's got their, you know, skeletons in their closet.
Sure.
But they're just such mainstream on TV and in movies kind of people, you know, actors. That's what I meant to say. Oh, my poor wife, you can hear her coughing.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of whose confessional biography, autobiography I'd want to read.
I think it'd be, I'm trying to think somebody would have a real.
I mean, if you really want the you know, the dirt and the juice and the Charlie Sheen's would be an obvious choice just to, because I think it would be unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, his would seem like fantasy. It would be like, what, really? Weird. Mm-hmm. I wonder what Martin thinks these days about him. Do you ever talk about it, I wonder? I've been seeing a lot of him, you know, on the West Wing.
Of course, yes.
And he looks just like, he looks like Emilio Estevez in old guy makeup. It's the weirdest thing. He really does. He looks just like him.
Yeah, they do look a lot alike, yeah.
Really odd. All right, well, good luck to him. It's great. If he's going in and he's serious, awesome. Good luck with that. Because there's more Glee needs making. So get on that. Freddie Mercury. famed lead singer of Queen.
Yep.
Got the weird mustache and the funny teeth.
Nothing weird about that mustache, man. That is a stash to be proud of.
Wears those real tight
Ron Swanson's about the only other guy who can pull off that stash.
Yep. And nobody looked better in a super tight tank top and big fluffy pants.
That's right.
He helped sneak a disguised Princess Diana into a gay bar in the 80s.
I can't believe this is true.
I know. And this is just
it's coming up.
Just coming out now.
Right.
A cross-dressing Princess Diana disguised as a comely young male model secretly entered a gay bar in London in the late 1980s and on the arm of a flamboyantly British flamboyant British singer Freddie Mercury. Amazingly, no one recognized the globally famed, endlessly photographed royal, according to a new book by British comedian and TV personality Cleo Rockos. The book's called The Power of Positive Drinking. I see what he did there.
Mm-hmm.
The scene was the Royal Vauxhall Tavern in South Tavern. They have a place called South Tavern. That's awesome. A popular gay club, and almost always elegant Diana was oddly clad in a bulky army jacket with dark sunglasses and a cap.
I have to bring
Are you bringing April Fools to bear?
I'm looking at the article right now to see if there's any admission that this is an April Fool's joke, but it was published yesterday by the New York Daily News, April 1st.
Yeah.
There's nothing in here that says, you know, you'd think today if it was an April Fool's joke, they'd say something about it today and say, so no, okay.
Never been verified. Let's see here. Yeah. And the comments don't even really lead to me thinking that. Mm-hmm. I say again, hate April Fool's. Because then even stuff that's genuinely
right.
Weird, you're not
Everything's
sure.
Suspect, exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the thing, and it happened. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be joined by the familiar and the sultry chin beard, Mr. Bill Duran himself.
Yes.
Fitness geek, talking about fitness, that'll be fun. Also after him, I hope, we have Jury. The Jury thing is like, it's Russian roulette. I really never know.
It really is. I know. It's like flipping an Obey Henry coin.
Yeah, because he travels a lot. And he may or may not be here. I don't know. And we'll be happy to talk to him if he is. But before all of that, we have a tradition on the show, which is to play a song during the break. And Brian will tell us now what it is.
How about some tunes for your ear holes?
Sure.
Hey, Mr. Piano Man and the rest. A very important birthday is coming up on April 1st, mine. To celebrate this, a cover must be played. A great cover that I can't recall hearing on the show yet is Planet Caravan by Pantera. If you could play this one, I would be a very happy camper. Even though Scott's Swedish accent is even worse than the real one, I still love the show, though. Your number two Swedish fan named Andreas.
Oh, okay.
This is Andreas Sjostrand. I believe that's how you pronounce it. S-J-O-S-T-R-A-N-D.
I'll take your word for it, sure.
So this is Pantera's Planet Caravan, a cover of Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And this version comes to us from the 1994 album Far Beyond Driven, which it says explicit, but I don't remember there ever being language in the original. So hopefully, we'll hear it all together.
We're going to find out the
we'll
fun
discover,
way.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hopefully it'll be.
Clean.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Nicely played. all right, so here's Planet Caravan by Pantera going out to Andreas Sjostrand.
All right, sounds good to me.
Hi, Brandon.
Oh, thanks for playing finally.
Hi.
Clicked you a second and a half ago. All right, sounds good. Let's play it. It's Planet Caravan. When we come back, all that stuff I said and a whole lot more. Stay tuned.
Bel Air is a cigarette that adds a new dimension to smoking enjoyment. First, Bel Air gives you the clean, refreshing taste of its menthol fresh blend of fine tobaccos. Then Bel Air adds the modern recessed filter, set deep, to put a breath of fresh air between the filter and you. Menthol fresh blend, modern recessed filter.
Huh?
The Morning Stream, you're soaking in it.
Oh, yeah, dude, we're soaking in it.
Yeah, getting a little wrinkled there, too.
It was a haunted little song there.
Yeah, it was. Short, too, which is nice.
Yeah, I liked it. Welcome back, everybody. It's time for us to do the latter portion of the show. Feeling nice and chill today.
Yeah.
You know, not too worked up. Don't have a... I've got a bunch to do today. Oh, shoot. I almost forgot. I have to interview the Hearthstone people.
Oh, right.
Not soon after the show ends, and or not long after the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more nervous about this. But yeah, I got all my questions. I'm just more nervous about this one than I have been most of them. Most other interviews, like more nervous than the Chris Metzen interviews or...
Wow. I'm surprised. The Hodor.
The Hodor interview was a piece of cake. Oh, my gosh. That was
Panzer.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Those were all fine. This one, for some reason, I think it's because... I don't know. The game is new. The stakes are high. Something about it just feels...
First thing you should ask?
Yeah.
Tell me one thing. This is you talking to them.
Okay.
Tell me one thing about the game that hasn't already come out in press releases or other interviews. And like, have them put the onus on them. No, yeah. They'll probably say, there really isn't anything else that we can tell you.
That's probably right. And I have a feeling this might be the most PR... the most PR people in the room at any given time than usual. Because usually it's a pretty easy, straight up, like they barely need anyone there. Like when Russell Brower comes on, he just comes on.
Right. It's not like they've got their guy. Okay, we're going to have to cut this interview short. Hey, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's it. That's all, everybody. Move along. And it's not like, they see us as a soft interview in that we're not jerks. They know they've got us down as not somebody who talks to them, asks a bunch of questions that are stupid and makes everybody uncomfortable. So,
right, well, then phrase it as a question, like, say, is there anything cool that you wish has come out in all the PR and in all the stuff that hasn't really gotten talked about, that hasn't really been...
That's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask that.
Okay.
You watch.
I will listen. You know I will.
And I'm going to say it came from Brian Ibbett, and they'll say, I see that guy every day. He's always a bald guy.
Oh, that bald guy. Yeah, I see him everywhere. He's
all over.
Leaning up against a brick wall in Hoboken.
He's the Waldo of podcasting. All right. Let's call Fitness Geek, because he is probably there waiting for us to do what we do. Should have him momentarily.
Oh, Chinbeard.
I'm going to ask him if he's still in his... I think we have a theme for Chinbeard now. Don't I have something? Let's see here. Here we go.
Away from your lips.
There you go. It's Chinbeard, everybody. It's
wow.
Bill Duran here to talk about fitness and how to be a geek and still be fit. And he's... Are you under a blanket still, or are you not doing that anymore?
No, I forgot my blanket.
Oh, all right. Well, what the hell are we doing here?
To come out of the blanket.
Come out of the blanket.
You know, those cigarette ads you keep playing would be really, really funny if we were at the point in human history where no one smoked anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
But they still do.
Yeah. Can you believe they do? Like, the irony washes over me in like a nice warm stream. But there are still people in this world that choose to go ahead and just keep smoking.
A lot of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no offense, I know there are people listening to the show probably smoke. It's great. Whatever. Josiah Bartlett on the West Wing, he cracks a cigarette here and there. I think, doesn't Obama still smoke? I think presidents smoke occasionally. But I don't know why you would pick it up today. I don't know how you would do it.
Yeah, I thought there would be enough information out there to say this is a wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
I guess you start doing it socially and you just can't stop.
Well, it's at an all-time low. But it's still like a worldwide problem. Like it's better in the States than it's ever been, but you know, people still smoke.
What will those poor companies do?
I've been to Vegas.
Oh God, yeah.
You're just saying those poor tobacco companies, look why they'll go out of business.
Yeah, what would happen, Bill Duran? They gotta sell to third world kids now.
There you go.
Bastards. All right, well, Ty, let's talk about something.
What will we do with all that leftover arsenic?
I know, right? All those just barrels of nicotine just sitting in a warehouse next to the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
So, Bill, what's going on in the world of fitness and nerdity these days?
I've been doing a lot of push-ups, like a lot of push-ups.
Russian death push-ups or whatever they are.
Yeah, that's been... I extended it because I went to PAX East. I missed half of a week of it, so I just did it the second week again. So I've done quite literally thousands of push-ups in the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I have this this new, I guess it's a goal. I want to do the 100 push-up program, right?
Yeah.
So that I can do 100 push-ups in a row. And then do the evil Russian program again.
Oh, my gosh.
With a new maximum of 100 push-ups.
Wow. So are you seeing results? Like, is this working for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They will call me Pectoral Man. That's going
to
be awesome.
So when you come to Nerdtacular, I assume whatever costume you're going to wear for the costume contest is going to be some shirtless number, right?
Oh yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I should consider doing that.
Yeah,
nice and warm there.
Yeah, and also, sure. If you didn't get the memo, this is how we're supposed to greet each other this year. This is how it's supposed to go.
Love.
I'm supposed to say love.
Okay. Yep.
One of us will be in various stages of undress too, right, when we do
and
it.
Very awkwardly say love as if you love. Didn't really want to be there. that's great, dude. Hats off to you because I know that's a hard regime and you're kicking butt with it.
It's a kind of an arbitrary thing, but it's getting me motivated to try something new, I guess.
That's good. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. So what's on the docket today? What do you got for us?
Oh, I decided I'm going to throw a curveball at you guys. Go a little bit off the beaten path.
Whoa.
Here.
Shit!
All right, I'm ready. Go, give it to me.
So instead of fitness specifically today, I kind of want to talk about PAX East, because I went to that.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Sure.
Yeah. And I also want to talk about costumes, because that's mostly what I did at PAX East.
Did you play Hearthstone? You didn't play the Hearthstone game, did you?
No, I did. So I did go to the booth, the Blizzard booth there, but mostly just so I could hang out with Patrick.
Patrick Beja.
Yeah. He seemed like he was having a good time.
Did he tell you why his plane had oxygen drop and all the masks
dropped down
and all that? Okay.
I didn't get that story. No,
I still don't know. He hasn't said anywhere what happened. Ooh. I'm dying to know, but...
I don't know.
My paranoia of flying is at an all-time high.
Somebody leaned up
Patrick.
Against the wrong button.
You think that was it?
Yeah.
Patrick's awesome. Always fun to hang out with that guy.
Yep.
Can't blame you there.
Funny thing about PAX East is I didn't even really see very many video games.
Really?
Yeah, I was too busy doing my own thing. Mm. And I'm also still way behind on playing video games from, like, 2012. So... I was like, oh, that game is very nice. It looks cool, and I'll buy it when it comes out. But I still need to play like Borderlands 2 and Far Cry and all that. But it was really neat. Like the convention center there is incredible.
Yeah,
it's huge. There's all this room. I spent a lot of my time at the BioWare base. They had their own room on the side, not on the main floor. And all of my friends ended up there. We just, hey, go meet at BioWare base. And most of us had BioWare costumes.
I was going to say, you were doing the rocking what do you call it?
Commander Shepard
outfit thing. Yeah. So, I did. There seemed to be a lot of photos of you and guys all doing BioWare stuff.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, given that BioWare needs a nice morale boost right now. So that's good that you guys did that.
Oh, yeah, we're totally doing it for them, I can tell you. No, it's cool. The cosplayers who do BioWare stuff are some of the most dedicated people I've ever met. And just
is it because that really stuff's more complicated and difficult?
No, it's just people who do it because they absolutely love the games. It's a total enthusiasm thing for – it's a fandom thing, and they love it. And they give back, too, and they're so supportive of their community and the cosplayers specifically. They've called out, like at Dragon Con, they did this whole thing. They got us all together. And then, like, the one guy was kind of crying.
Wow.
He was really into it. Because think about it. If you spend as much time as they do building this world, like for Mass Effect, and to see, you know, 70 people show up in Mass Effect costumes from the thing you made, it's got to be really cool.
Yeah.
So they're pretty moved by that. And they show it, too. I'm going to put a link in the tab pool.
All right.
I made a tiny.cc/PAX East costumes.
Oh, look at that.
That's just some of the photos I took while I was there of people in costume. Some of the people you'll see are my amazing wife, Brittany, and her Chandra.
I had to show Tristan that because he's a big Magic the Gathering dude now.
Are
so.
You the? Are you, is this your brother who's dressed as Tony Stark?
Oh yeah. Really? Okay. He looks great.
Yeah.
Oh, and his wife is Pepper Potts.
Yeah. And I just, can I ask how they made the little tablet? Like, what the hell is that?
That is a book light. You can just go to Amazon and buy it. It's a flat piece of acrylic with a light on it that you lay on the page of a piece of paper to read at night. And they just seriously carved that stuff on there with a knife.
So nice. then the light reflects all through it like it's digital. That's so cool.
Oh, that's well done.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, that's neat.
There's a picture there. A couple of friends of mine did a GLaDOS costume.
Yeah.
And she's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, I see that. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
the funny thing is the girl that's inside of there is 5'3". She is tiny. But really? She's standing up on stilts and she has her arms behind her back.
Is she looking through that little black hole on the chest? What appears to be the chest?
Her head is in the head, and she can see out of there. And she talked, too, and she was playing the part all the time. The funny thing is, she would be sitting, like, to take a load off, she would sit on, like, a trash can or whatever. And people would walk by like it was a sculpture. Like, they had no idea there was a person in there.
Yeah.
And I was just people watching the whole time, watching people walk by. They'd be like, oh, that's cool. And then they'd turn to walk away, and she would turn the head and say something and just freak them out.
It was that thing is really, really striking. Like, the
and
height of it.
The guy with the picture frame is, what's-his-face Johnson from...
Cave Johnson. I was standing next to him for, like, 5 minutes before I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
Those are the guys I usually hate. They bring them. They just bring a window with a pane and stick their head in it and say, "What are you? I'm Microsoft Windows or whatever."
Right.
I went to a party later on with that guy, and he showed up with a Strong Bad mask and boxing gloves.
Oh, you're kidding!
It was pretty awesome,
dude. That's an impressive damn costume. I know we've seen you in this before, but sometimes when you just get a good shot of the detail there, that's just amazing stuff.
Might have to bring that to Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. The gun I have there is the N7 Valkyrie rifle, and my friend Harrison built a mold for that. So that's a kit that I got from him, and I painted. That's from the same molds that were made for the live-action trailer for Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
That he made those, and I was able to get my hands on one, so that was really cool.
Wow. I'm buying that light thing and making something. That is the sweetest deal.
It looks so rad.
Yeah. Well, these are cool pictures. People should check them out. Yeah. They can also get to them via punishprops.com or punishprops on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yeah. For those at home who don't have the chat room right now, go check it out.
And then a quick sort of rundown of some of the really cool people. This is my my proselytizing for cosplay. All right? It's... like quite literally cosplay has changed my life, like where my career has gone and the people I've met. And I want to encourage everyone who's even has the tiniest bit of interest in doing something cosplay related to go and do it. I'll tell you why. Mostly it's because of the people who are in it. And for the most part, there are a few outliers who are jerks, but overwhelmingly the community is extremely supportive.
Yeah.
Really inclusive, enthusiastic, and friendly. People usually want, when they get together, they want to talk shop, ask how you made stuff, and a lot of mutual respect going around. I've had the chance to make friends with a lot of really cool people. My friend Harrison from Vulpen Props, Holly Conrad and Jessica Meritzen from Crab Cat. Holly was in the Comic Con the movie. I don't know if you guys saw that
one. I still haven't seen it.
I'll go.
Meant to.
Go see that. Yeah.
That's streaming. Might be streaming. Is it? I don't know.
I don't know.
All right.
But I got to meet Jessica Negri and Rana, the face of Samara, the Samara from Mass Effect.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
She's actually wearing a birthday hat on top of her alien hat.
Oh, wait then. That's actually her, though?
That's the face model who they used for that character.
Okay. She looked real good, and I thought, well, now she's really nailed that character, but that's probably because that's her face. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, she had... someone made her that costume. She got the headpiece done by the Mad Masker, I think. She loves dressing up as her character and going to conventions. Every convention I've gone to, she's been there. And she was at WonderCon this last weekend. She was at DragonCon, New York Comic Con. She just loves... She's so enthusiastic and having a great time and running around and meeting people. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just... the community of people that I've met in cosplay is wicked cool. And I encourage everyone to try it. And if you're thinking about doing something, Nerdtacular 2013 would be a good place to start.
Yeah, good place to start, baby. Nice little talk about a group of people that all have a lot of mutual respect and stuff like that. That's a great place to hang out and do that.
That's right.
Looking forward to it. July 5th through 6th, everyone. Tickets now available at nerdtacular.com.
I'll be there.
Yes, you will.
You'll be judging the costume contest. We need you.
Yeah, we need you. We can't do it without you, buddy. All right. Well, awesome. Chinbeard on Twitter. Punishprops.com. Facebook.com/punishprops. And all over the damn place. Do follow him and check out his fine work.
Yeah, I want April to get better. Shout out to April.
Oh, yeah, April. I forgot, meant to mention this yesterday. Oh. So Viking Lass has been in the hospital for a gallbladder thing.
Yep.
And the reason I found out is I suddenly noticed her Vine videos were from a hospital bed. And I'm like, what is going on? Because just prior to that, she was at PAX East for a day.
Yeah, and I got to hang out with her.
Yeah, sure. So she's been, you know, running around. And all of a sudden, burp, she's in a hospital bed. And apparently it's all good and it's all... great prognosis, everything's fine, but all our wishes go her way. We hope everything's going all right with her.
Sure,
get better, April.
Quick recovery.
And Thursday, I would like, I don't know if he listens actually, but Thursday is my twin brother's birthday, so happy birthday to Rob.
Twin brother.
And him and his wife are planning on moving to Seattle, which is really exciting.
Does it piss him off? Does it piss him off that his twin brother, born with the same body, is in better shape than he is right now?
You know what? He's 5 pounds lighter than me. Right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Fine. It is on now. That's why I'm doing all these push-ups.
Well, I'll see you guys at Emerald City next year. I'm coming to that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a done deal.
Ouch.
Yep, so that'll be fun. I'll get to see you whatever the hell you're wearing then, which I'm sure will be fantastic based on what you're wearing now. Bill Duran, everybody. Fair weather, my good friend, and we'll talk to you next time.
Sure thing. Bye, guys.
Bye. See ya. Bye. Okay. All right. Now, let's play a little Justin Roulette, okay?
Because... almost need to have a tadpole game of guessing if he's going to be here or not.
Well, you never freaking know, but I always like to hope and pray and dream that he's there. Let's all just say, oh, look at this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Robert Young.
Yay.
That's
what his mother calls him. What will y'all call him that? Justin, good morning. How's it going, man?
Yeah, I guess everybody calls me that. Yeah. I mean, it's my name. That's kind of the point of names now, isn't it?
I don't know. I feel like
it can't be worn out.
I feel like more people should be interested in doing the whole three name thing like you do.
Well, I only did that because there's some Hawaiian singer named Justin Young.
Oh, weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like Justin Young, and then he even has like a hyphenated last name. But and then like there was also there was a kid that I remember one time I Googled my name, Justin Young, and there was like a page that just in the Google thing was like, hi, I'm Justin. I'm a high school senior, and I'm really looking forward to going to journalism school in college. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm a high school senior, and I'm looking forward to going to journalism school in college. And I'm like, did I like do this in my sleep? And I clicked on it, and it was just some other dude. And I'm like, all right, it's time for me to just not be Justin Young anymore.
So it's funny, because I found... So I just did a quick search. Justin Young, some kid on Facebook. Justin Young... Fort something something puzzle piece YouTube music, Justin Singer Wikipedia, free music. So yeah, you're right. You get down a little ways and it starts to we start to say, oh, and then there's some photos of you looking all hot and bothered. Oh wow, look at that.
It happens. Listen, guys, it happens.
What are you gonna do? I like it. I say embrace it. It's the Scott Johnson problem. There are a million of me, and I can't do anything about it. It's the name I was given. Yeah, I know. Brian Ibbett. There's an only. I've never met another Ibbett in my life.
Only one. That's because I've actually gotten killed all the other ones.
Aren't there a bunch of Jewish guys somewhere? Is that the deal?
Not Ibbett's.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Fine.
Wait, no, I mean, I assume that there are a bunch of Jewish guys somewhere.
Well, there are a bunch of Jewish guys, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, Justin, it's always a pleasure, man. It's good to have you on.
Absolutely.
It's always also a little bit fun to find out what is just on your mind, like what is going on in the head of Justin Armagon.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Because I was listening. I went back and listened to your live Q&A.
Yes.
For Nerdtacular.
Yes.
And two things struck me.
Yes.
Number one, the only question that I had, like, as a general person who'd be listening to this Q&A is, are tickets still available and where can I buy them? And hardly a detail about either of those were mentioned.
That's funny. Well, part of the problem was I came prepared with some ideas of things that I should make sure to mention, but you're right. For some reason, that one didn't get mentioned. I think part of it was, I don't know, and I don't think anyone else asked it, because I think there was kind of a general in-the-know kind of thing happening in the chat room.
Yeah.
But people at home, maybe not so much. So hopefully we're spreading the word properly here over the next few weeks about where people can get their tickets now.
And the other thing is, I don't know how I became like the specter, like of drunken wild debauchery for the Frog Pants Network. But literally whenever there's anything, it's like, oh, I don't know. Like, can we litter on the floor? No, I don't know. Justin might.
Like, well, it's between you and Terpstor, honestly. I think the two of you.
Yeah, between you two, it's you never know. I actually it's funny. It's very artificial because I know you personally and I know that you're not like some freak. But it's there's something I like about the idea that people think Justin is in constant jackass mode, you know?
I know, just in constant chaos.
Yeah.
Just drinking and yelling at children. Like,
yeah. So, I, you know, it's...
I worry about getting the two of them in the same place at the same time.
Right. Well, I'm sure it'll be like Ron Silver touching himself in the Time Cop. Remember that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. He'll start throbbing, pulsating.
Yeah, blah, 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 and that'll be the end of him. He was also on West Wing, but I digress.
This is just going to be how me and I... Because I don't know if I've ever even talked to Terpstor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And it's an odd thing because obviously we are like kind of just barely on opposite sides of the same circle.
Right. It's this incestuous thing in Frog Pants that most everybody has had some time with each other. But yeah, I guess that hasn't. That'll happen in July. Goodness.
I've never seen the two of them in the same place at the same time.
Wait a minute.
I know. I think that what we should do a panel where he does an American accent and I do a British accent.
Perfect.
And
then we see his American accent sucks. Here's what his sounds like. He says, "Hey, I'm walking here," and that's all he can do.
I'll tell you what, it might be better than my British accent, though. So we'll have the battle of the terrible accents.
Ah, brilliant. That'll be fantastic. So watch for that. The big panel of accent comparisons.
Finally.
Day two.
Finally, it happens.
Yeah, day two of Nerdtacular. But anyway, sorry. Continue.
Well, you know, I had like four things that I wanted to talk about, and I've now promptly forgotten.
All four have left your brain.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I guess like with the Frog Pants like Q&A thing, like it seems like is this like the biggest step up you've ever taken with the conference? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like a different thing?
Well, I mean, in previous years, so for those not familiar with the history, here's the brief version of it. In 2007, it was just a rented movie theater for locals. It was like, hey, local fans, let's get together. I'll rent a movie theater. We'll watch Spider-Man 3, unfortunately. We didn't know it was bad until we watched it. But we'll watch that, and we'll have a good time, and it'll be cool. And it went so well that I thought, well, let's do this again the next year. Next year, we did it. We got like 10 people came out of town. I was like, what? People came out of town for this? Next year, 45 people flew in from different parts of the world and country. I thought, well, this is bananas. So this repeated itself and got bigger and bigger and bigger until we got to 2010, which was the year like the Merritt clan came, and we had Eileen there. And we had
the Clan Merritt.
Clan Merritt showed up. And we did a little bit of extra on the tail end of it, and that just got bigger and weirder. And I thought, all right, next year we're doing this proper. So we did. 2011 was the first year we did like a day-long conference. It was panels, and it was like more similar to what we're doing this year, but still just a day, and we only could hold about 350 people or whatever it was, 400 people in the space that we rented. So that happened. 2012, basically a repeat of that, although we maxed out everything and probably had more people than we were allowed by the fire code. And then this year we said, you know what? We got to go. If we're going to take this bigger, we're not going to go crazy with this. It's not going to be 50,000 people or anything nuts like that. We still want it to be this tight-knit kind of, I don't know, intimate gathering of like-minded friends. That's always been the goal with this. It's never been, let's make this a con necessarily. It's always been, no, let's make this a way for, you know, the hardcores to all sort of get together and be in one place. And so We went 2 years, which is totally weird. We went to this mountainside resort, two which days. Is totally weird. Two days.
2 years, I think, is too long.
That's too long. I think
I'm
2 days would be
register
enough.
Register that as too long.
Yeah, two
I
months
don't know
is
if
too
I have
long.
That vacation done.
Yeah, I think days is the way to go. You're right. So basically 2 days straight in a very different place with a very different kind of, I don't know, scheduling kind of culture where we're going to have a lot more mingle and sort of hang out and board gaming and, you know, time to really get to know each other and talk. And so we could hold up to like 800 people this year, but we're not sure we're going to let the tickets do that. We think we might still cap it around 500, 600 when it's all said and done in the next 30 days or so. So I don't know. Well, it's all
I'll
very
tell
interesting.
You what, I'm so excited. Like I got a because Chinbeard is a very, very wise and sage man understands that any plans that I make will be immediately forgotten. So he went through Ashley and asked to, you know, he's like, oh, you guys want to play like D&D? And I'm like, yes, I want to play D&D and Frog Pants. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. This is I could not be more pumped.
So you're gonna roll. You're gonna roll the. Ah, oh, dude, that's great. You're gonna roll the D20. You're gonna get a perfect thing. You're gonna be what? Are you gonna be a ranger? This is making me nerd out. Imagining you playing D&D. That's fantastic.
I don't even. I can't even wrap my head around it.
All right.
Well, can't even. Yeah, I haven't even begun because you want to know why?
Why
I haven't begun my character design? Because you and I begin the epic summer journey known as the NSFW Fantasy Movie Draft.
Oh, that's tonight. Gosh, I almost forgot.
Wow.
That's tonight.
The summer draft thing is tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because, you know, we already missed a huge movie, you know, because we had to move it back a week, so we missed G.I. Joe, which, you know, would have been a pretty good play for somebody early on in the draft as it has done very, very well.
Plus, that's a weird dangling participle from last year, with the whole it getting canceled and pushed off the movie draft last year.
Yeah, which I had,
right.
And then got replaced with Ted, and then I wound up winning, but I won by more than Ted even had. So right. It could have actually just gone away, and I would have won.
Yeah, I love that you always point that out. I think that's awesome.
I mean, I just, because there's a lot of slander out there, Scott. You know, there's a lot of gossipy little wisps who wanted to sully my great and grand victory in the Summer Movie League, the only movie league that matters.
Yeah.
Not the Puerto Rican league that we have during the winter.
The winter one is like, it is like Winter Olympics and Summer Olympics. It just gets short shrift there in the winter. For sure.
You know, it's nice. It's the nice thing that we do when we can't play the real movie.
All right. No, this is the one that matters both in box office and in the hearts and minds of viewers. But here's the funny thing. These last two drafts I've been involved with, last year's summer was my first one, and then I was in the winter draft. In both cases, story of my life, I took, you know, mediocre place, I like to call it, where I made some good choices, picked some really good winners, had a great run, for a while was in first place, and then everything goes to shite.
Well, no, you almost pulled the upset of the century.
That's what I'm saying.
You had the epic. I mean, the ending of the winter draft was the most thrilling that we've ever had in the history of the league. So it is very, I think, I mean, I'll tell you what, this is the most unpredictable summer draft we've ever had.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
There is like no, like, number one, would you be surprised if Superman Returns was underwhelming and made $150 million? Like, because I wouldn't.
Yeah,
but I also wouldn't be shocked if it was, you know, the thing of the summer and made $500 million.
Yeah,
like,
and this could be the year that, you know, Iron Man 3 slips a little. You know, like there are a lot of things that seem like sure bets. They seem like sure bets, but I don't know if I feel like any of this list is a sure bet this year. It's a weird.
Well, the other thing that's weird about Iron Man specifically is usually what you do is you track, you know, franchise movies. You're really judging the last movie, not how good this movie looks.
Yeah.
You know, because like nerds like us are obsessed with trailers and stills and story and stuff like that. But really where the money comes in is people who the last time they gave a rat's butt about Iron Man was the last time they saw Iron Man on screen. And normally that would be Iron Man 2, which kind of sucked.
Yeah, wasn't great.
So like the, you would just have people being like, oh, well, Iron Man 2, that was kind of boring. I don't know if I want to go see Iron Man 3, except for the fact that that's not the last time everybody saw Iron Man on screen. The last time everybody saw Iron Man on screen was in the Avengers, which ruled.
And they loved it, right?
$1 jillion. So really, you're looking at this as the sequel to the Avengers and not to Iron Man 2, which could mean it could be the biggest move, the biggest moneymaker of the year.
Well, in a very real way, it is a sequel to the Avengers because it picks up.
They're playing it up.
Yeah.
You know, that's the trailer's whole like nothing's been the same since New York, which means this is, you know, this is the sequel to the Avengers, which Marvel and Disney very much hope is the case because that means that they will make another, you know, $1 jillion.
Yeah, and everybody's convinced. Or at least semi-convinced that Star Trek's the big bank this year. Like that's the one you want to own. And I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying I'm not 100% sure about that thinking. You know, mm-hmm. Like I feel like that's dangerous to say. I'm going to spend 80 of my $100 tonight on the movie draft on Star Trek because clearly it's the only way to win this. And I know that people are thinking.
But like, it would be curious to see what that means to the bidding. Because, like, in a world where there are no sure bets, do we overinflate the kind of bets?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and number one, what bizarro world do we live in when we are saying, no, the Star Trek movie is the surefire moneymaker of the summer?
Yeah, think about it. Let's just go back to, like, Undiscovered Country era. It's not the kind of conversation you'd have, you know?
Right. No. Yeah, no. Look at every other Star Trek.
It's back when Star Trek movies were fan courtesies. They weren't juggernauts. They were like, hey, we know you guys are out there, and Picard's not doing anything.
This
so,
is for you, but sorry.
Yeah, this one's got you. Yeah. If you look real hard, you might see Wesley in the first 10 minutes, but we really don't have him say anything. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
It's pretty insane that that is the world that we live in, but. You know, a lot of weird stuff. And there's a couple, you know, you got to wonder, every year there's a comedy. Lately, every year we've done the draft, there's a comedy that kind of breaks out.
Yeah. Ted, was yours. What was the one before that, year before?
Bridesmaids was the year before. You know, you have your, you know, you have another Hangover. And again, Hangover 3 does not, that trailer looks weird. It looks weird and dark.
Dark.
And like, and not the frivolity that we have come to know and love in the Hangover franchise.
Probably trying to get away from, which I thought was a disappointing one. Hangover 2 was disappointing compared to the first one.
Yeah.
So my guess is they're trying to get away from, I don't know, maybe from the stigma that the second one left.
Laughs.
from comedy. Yeah.
They're trying to get away from laughs, yes.
But it's you know what? I've heard somebody compare it to the Fast and the Furious series in a way, in that they've decided, look, yes, we're grabbing money here. This is the American Pie sequels sort of, you know, thing as well, where the first one was well received, everybody liked it, everybody saw it, thought it was a big deal. Now we're just going to milk it to death, and by milking it to death, at some point Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson will join the cast. And
but oddly enough, the Fast and the Furious, number one, the Fast and the Furious franchise is a very, very interesting and unique animal because that was an extraordinarily episodic franchise to the point where they were just switching out characters, you know, where people would just leave and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And now, as it has become more successful, it's become more successful as it's become more of a serial story.
Right.
That one movie very directly leads into the other one, and they're very meticulous about tying together this universe. And, you know, for anybody, you know, there's spoilers on the internet if you want to read, you know, what the big deal is. But at the end of this movie, there's a huge setup for the next movie.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. Mm-hmm. It's funny because they also have these deals like where the Japanese dude from Drift, Tokyo Drift, which was the, what, second or third Fast and Furious movie? I don't remember which.
That was the third one.
Third one. Now, this isn't a really old movie, so I'm not caring about spoilers here. But the
cars drift here.
The main character in that movie died at the end, and yet he's in these new ones. And so there's this big twisted like prequel, sequel, timeline, lore thing going on with the Fast Five crap. It's crazy.
I'll just, without going into details, that is resolved at the end of this movie.
Oh, is it? The one that's coming out now.
which leads into the big thing.
Jeez.
I love that this exists. I love that this is a thing.
But I mean, but that's what's weird is that that's the future of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Is, you know, like people want that comic book experience that we as nerds have kind of always lived with and loved, that idea of a deep, you know, mythological experience.
Yeah.
And they're doing that with great success in maybe the most meat-headed gearbox franchise that you could possibly think of,
yeah,
which is amazing that, yeah, that these things are kind of coming together. Now we really want to know, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, we look at the Dom Toretta, you know, Vin Diesel character as somebody that we want to know about his life and what happened and, you know, where he went when he disappeared.
Right.
And not just, you know, for the fact that they didn't want to pay him for episodes 2 and 3.
Yeah, and you can, and there are times where if they do this well enough, he could fall out of one of his cars after a race with Jay-Z or somebody, right?
Yeah.
And he could fall flat in the dirt and then kind of wake up and notice that blue flame is coming out of his left hand, and suddenly Vin Diesel has powers in this thing. If you do it right, you can get away with that stuff down the road.
They can tie it right into Chronicles of Riddick.
Right. There is awesome. There are no sharks to jump.
Riddick!
And then he can see in the dark and perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
I remember my a friend of mine went to go see Chronicles of Riddick when it was in theaters. And I was like, oh, was it good? Because I really like Pitch Black. And he's like, well, there's a lot of jumping and a lot of people yelling, Riddick!
That sounds about right. That sums up that movie
so
pretty good.
Much that wraps. And then I saw the movie and I'm like, well, goddamn, I'll tell you what.
I've said it on the show. I've already admitted
this. By the way, hold on. Oh, I just want to say this. Yeah. And there is a super fan of Frog Pants that I want to apologize because I just dropped a GD and I don't. Here's the deal. I want to be sensitive to this particular complaint. And I will say this. I invite everybody listening that I can't just go cold turkey from saying that because it's just kind of an idiom. I just rely on it. It's a crutch.
Uh-huh.
So give me another word to say instead of the GD expression, and I will make an effort to replace it.
Private message him. Not private message. Message him on Justin R. Young on Twitter. Yeah, at reply him on Twitter. Let's give him something new. I would remind
hashtag alternatives to GD.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would remind the listenership. The Frog Pants network and this show in particular has always enjoyed a hefty, a nice, healthy PG-13 rating.
Mm-hmm,
so the GD falls well within the purview of a PG-13 rating.
True.
So I don't know,
And I don't want. It's not that. It's not like I you know want to be a warrior against obscenity because obviously that would be ridiculous. But you know, I want to prove to myself that I can eliminate anything from my vocabulary. If I want to. And
right.
This I take as a challenge and a sign that, you know, because there is a fan base that follows you and enjoys me on this show that I don't think we'd ever really reach with NSFW. NSFW is you know, a bunch of miscreants and cretins running around and spray painting things on walls. You know, there is a wholesome family element that listens to this show that I do enjoy having as part of people who like the stuff that I do.
Absolutely.
So I want to be sensitive to that.
And there will be parents and children at Nerdtacular who want to come up to Justin and shake his hand and have him not go, GD, son, what up? Yo, F and F and F.
Exactly, and then spit whiskey in their face, as I am only want to do.
And litter on the floor.
Well, that's the rumor. Yeah. That's the rumor going around. I'm with you. So let's put it to the people. You guys tweet Justin what you think.
The Terpster will sing soccer hooligan chants and
perfect.
People, and it'll be hilarious.
Perfect. By the way, when I was at BlizzCon in 2011, I'd never seen a more drunk human being than Terpster at that particular event. And it's really something to behold. I mean, it's really and I don't know if he remembers any of what we talk about when he's in that state or anything, but it is a fantastic thing. So given that there are multiple bars in the vicinity of Nerdtacular, that will be an interesting turn of events, see how things go that way.
Well, we have to replace me and Chinbeard's 5K, so it'll just be a drink-a-thon.
Yeah, there you go. So some other form of debauchery. It'll be fantastic.
Some Gadzooksian drink-a-thon.
We do have to remind people, and Corinne keeps telling me to make sure to mention this, but people who maybe do partake a bit in the drinking side of life, that they make sure to drink tons of water as well, because at high altitudes, drinking alcohol can have adverse effects on your immediate health. So,
right. The benefit is that you'll probably spend less on alcohol. It's easier to get buzzed with less.
Yeah.
Less alcohol up there in those altitudes.
Plus, I think some of those.
That's the problem for like me is you know, when I've been at my most self-destructive is you cross a sort of line and then it's just like, you know, oh no, I need to keep drinking. It's not like, wow, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I need to stop. It's like, wow, I'm drunk. More.
Yeah.
Is that why there wasn't an open bar at the NSFW party at Dragon Con?
There was, oh my God, there was about as open a bar as we could open it
with yeah.
the amount that they were charging. Jesus.
Yeah, right. That's the other thing. That stuff is expensive. I have no idea what these bars are like because I haven't been in them, but I'm sure they're fine. Brian will scope all this out in April when he comes out.
Yeah.
And hopefully by that time, we will have maybe a case or two of our fake wine.
Oh, I heard about this. Yeah.
A real fake wine, which is a brandy red wine cocktail called Ruinum. And
love the name already.
Yeah, this and, is. I heard about this. Yeah. And I saw some of the promo stuff, the videos and stuff, and I haven't seen NSFW in a while. But it sounds a lot like you guys are taking your whole book thing to the next level. Isn't that what this is?
Yes, we are taking our book thing to the next level. It is a wine cocktail, and it is unlike the book where people read the book and they were like, "Oh, well, this is garbage" or whatever. I don't think anyone's going to be able to drink this wine and say that it does not do its stated and intended job, which I do believe the book did too. We offered one thing, straight banging, homie, and we delivered it, you know, and this will
also tell Justin an at reply. What do you'd rather have him say than a straight banging homie? Send him that one too.
I don't know if there's anything that you can get cleaner than straight banging, homie. But the people who made Adam Carolla's Mangria came to me and Brian and said, you know, what would you guys be able to do if, you know, we did the Diamond Club thing with a bottle of wine? And so we've taken it and run with it. If you are interested in helping out, listen to NSFW. We're doing it just like the book, where anybody who wants to be a part of it can help it. And as soon as we kind of get all of our ducks in a row, we need to get a label submitted, or I think we have a label submitted now to the Alcohol Control Board. We will then move into phase two, which is to basically seed the internet with the mythology that this particular formula is not only an ageless and timeless one, but also can be connected eerily to the fall of Rome and many, many other historical events.
Wow. I don't know where I got the impression that Justin and Brian punk people and trick the internet into things. I don't know where I got that from.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
it's weird.
Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you what. This thing is 20% alcohol by volume.
Whoa.
Which means...
oh, my God.
You're going to... This is a sipper, folks. You're going to... Do not... If when we bring this to Nerdtacular, this is not. If I see anybody getting fresh with a bottle of this, then I'm going to take it away. I'm going to confiscate it. it will do some damage.
Well, Carolla just did a Mangria tasting here in Salt Lake. I think I want to say this. Well, maybe it's still coming up, but it's sometime here soon. He's coming to this place called Trolley Square where they're going to do a tasting, and it made me think. I wonder what are the trans-state travel. Alcohol,
yeah, like
laws.
Being able to bring in stuff.
Because I know a lot of times, like if you wanted to ship a bottle of that from California to North Carolina, you'd have to go through all kinds of red tape to do it.
No, there's so we're working with the exact same people that do Adam Carolla stuff. So anywhere that you can or cannot get Mangria, you will or will not be able to get Ruinum. In terms of us just bringing it to. Yeah, and in terms of us just bringing it to Nerdtacular, it'll just be something that we'll just, you know, like...
You'll have it there, right? It's not going to be like you're setting up shop and selling it and that sort of thing.
No. I think, this will just be... This would be like in Game of Thrones, if we were just bringing a cask of Arbor Gold to the court.
Well, I'm excited for you guys for this one. This sounds like it could be an actual, you know... money revenue generating thing for you.
I mean, you know, we'll see what it is. Obviously it's a much higher ticket kind of thing than the book, but
than an ebook. Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, we'll, I mean, who knows? This is all something that is, you know, very new to me and Brian and everything. And we can guarantee this, you know, as the Sam Jackson Lager sketch in the Chappelle Show taught us, it'll get you drunk. That's a fact, like Agnes Sega, the Jermaine and Jack.
I wish he was still on TV more.
You know, he's booking shows in San Francisco.
Oh, weird.
He's doing stand-up shows at this theater that I saw Turquoise Jeep at. And so periodically I get emails that are like, Chappelle just booked two more shows, like yesterday, and the tickets are instantly sold out.
Yeah, of course.
Like you can't – like I log in 2 minutes after they've gone on sale, and I can't clear the checkout, you know. And it's just it's impossible to get into, but I would love to see
it. Yeah. I've seen his stand-up's live, amazing.
His stand-up live, I think, 3 or 4 times, but never since, you know, the downfall, which is, like, really the only stand-up that I want to see. Even if it's not good, I'm so fascinated.
What was the movie he was in with Jon Stewart? Baked?
Half-Baked.
Half-Baked.
I'm in the mood for Half-Baked. I really thought that was awesome.
You ever listen to the Morning Stream? All the weed?
That sounds about right. Well, on that note, Justin Robert Young is a guy you can find doing things on the internet. Do you want?
One more thing. Speaking of on weed,
weed.
The Night Attack 2 sequel to our Billboard charting comedy album Night Attack, will be on sale on April 20th, 420. For all of those hip kids out there. Go on over to nsfwshow.com/album and get on our mailing list. We're going to be sending out free tracks from the album and letting everybody know where they can buy it. And as somebody who has done sock puppet representations of me and Brian, you will be delighted to see the final. A fan of ours, Jackie Hearn, did a puppet version of one of our tracks, which I guess will be the lead track on the album, which is a plea from me and Brian to everybody listening to please stop drinking and texting while driving.
All right. That sounds fantastic.
You put never. Don't ever step over that line. Not a single one. Do not drink and text while driving.
And drive. Wow.
No. That's never.
Deadly combination. Yeah.
It is.
Drink and drive if you have to. Text and drive if you have to.
Don't avoid the issue, Scott. I'm saying no drinking and texting. Yeah.
Don't start condoning things that you don't want to condone.
Right.
Let's stop muddling this, okay?
Let's keep the issue in focus. Right.
The issue here. All right. I say no.
All right, good. Well, you guys have taken an important social stand. I think this is what we need more of in this country. So I would highly recommend it. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Follow him on that. You can also find him on the NSFW show tonight, the big movie draft, summer movie draft. I'll be there. So will some other luminaries.
Sarah Lane, C. Robert Cargill, the writer of the new fantasy novel, which I'm reading right now and is excellent, Dreams and Shadows, as well as he's writing the Deus Ex Machina movie.
Mm.
Of course, Brian the Gerbs, your old pals. And we're going to find out what we're going to be yelling about for the rest of the summer.
It's going to be fantastic. Let the competition begin. Justin, take it easy, dude.
Love you guys.
Bye.
See you, Jerry.
Bye. All right, Brian. Lively conversation with
indeed
the Justin, the Robert, the Young.
Yes, the man, the myth, the legend.
He is the myth and the legend. Real quick, couple emails. I'll pound these out, and then we'll get out the door.
Okay.
I got to prep for my interview.
That's right.
With them Hearthstone people. Hey, scrambled eggs and bacon.
So is this a card game or a video game?
Now, do I keep the cards with me, or how do I get to the thing? I should act like a total idiot.
Right.
Listening to you talk about snooze buttons and negative reinforcement reminded me of a trick I played on a roommate where we deployed to Bosnia in a room of five. What? In a room of five. Everyone working different shifts. One roomie completely abused his snooze button, often hitting it 5 or more times to wake up. Being an aircraft electrician, I took his clock and disconnected the snooze button. The next morning, beep, 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 bam, beep, 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 bam, beep, 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 bam, bam, bam. And then finally would turn it off. We convinced him. Awesome. We convinced him he wore it out with overuse. So that was positive. Was that positive or negative reinforcement? He asked.
Oh wow! Let's see here.
This is one of those trick questions.
That's right. I guess that would be you're taking away something to elicit a positive result. So that'd be negative.
Negative reinforcement.
Negative reinforcement.
Nice job.
No, positive. That would be positive reinforcement.
Would be a positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
See, positive. I still don't know the difference. This is the problem. I don't know anything.
I knew it when we talked about it last week, and I've since forgotten it. Or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Last email from Nadine from Canada. It says, hey, Scott, the show your wife likes is called Lost Girl, and it has not been canceled and is currently airing its third season. You've probably never heard of it because it's on a Canadian cable show, even though it does air on the Sci-Fi channel in the U.S. There are no vampires, but you get a bisexual succubus and other supernatural creatures. It won't win any awards, but personally, I think it's a fun show. Love the show despite your occasional questionable taste in TV. Nadine from Canada, not Toronto or Vancouver or even Calgary or Montreal. I thought that's all there was. What else is there up there?
Right. Wow. Well, she must be from Banff.
Yeah, Banff. And it's like, what, two blocks over?
Yes.
From the rest exactly. of this? Yeah.
Right. I can see Banff from here.
So I since talking about that show, I have seen a few more episodes with Kim, and I still think it's kind of ridiculous. But yeah, you know what it is? It's like a TV version of those books that are all in the aisles that the Twilight books are in. It's all like the teen werewolf, teen, you know, supernatural books that are all the rage. It's like a TV version of that. Mm-hmm. And I still don't like it. I still think it's annoying. And telling me it's on Sci-Fi Channel, some people have said, oh, it's on Sci-Fi. How come you're not watching it? It's on Sci-Fi. Like, that should be enough.
It's on Sci-Fi.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, first of all, it's Sci-Fi, if you really want to pronounce it right.
Right.
And second of all, the last thing they made that I cared about was BSG.
Yep.
And associated products. And now all I get is repeats of Mansquito 1 and 2 and Lost Girl.
I do like Face Off.
I haven't seen Face Off. It's a good, it's the makeup it one, right? Good.
It's the makeup show. Yeah.
The reality makeup show.
Yeah, and it's really, really clever. Really well done. There's a little there's one of the judges kind of a doofus, kind of a tool.
Yeah. I like a good tool. Does anyone on that show ever say for the record they could eat a peach for hours?
Nobody ever says that on the show. I'm surprised.
I love that you knew exactly where I was going.
I knew where
that.
You were going. Yes.
I love that. That's what you have when you got hosts who jive everybody. They know they can, you complete my other sentences. All right, thanks for your emails. Those were from yesterday, and I just thought we'd
our joke cycles are in sync.
That's right. We go to the that one aisle, if you know what I'm saying, at the same time every month.
I know what you're saying.
Let's get out of here. I want to thank VTW. No, it's not them anymore. It's alphageekradio.com for the Shoutcast right. stream. I almost blew that one.
Get the app, too, folks. There's an app.
Yeah, go get it. It's an app. Alpha Geek Radio app available now. Bandwidth provided by EasyNet. Scott Fletcher does our voice work. Get our t-shirt at /loot.com. I'm wearing one right now. Look at that. It's on my chest. Also, our mug is up on the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com. More shows like this one there as well. So you can go check out everything at frogpants.com. You can find us at frogpants.com/TMS, facebook.com/TheMorningStream. Email us at themorningstream@gmail.com and find us on Twitter. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville, of which I assume there's one today.
There will be one today, and I need to relook at the playlist, but it's either going to be an indie hodgepodge show or an all request show.
I like both.
Who knows? You know what? I could even go off the board and do a tribute to Phil Ramone, who passed away last week.
Oh, that's right. The guy, the producer.
Yeah.
Engineer guy. Everyone confused him with the Ramones. But
right. Yes, he's not a Ramone. Well, he's a Ramone, but he wasn't a member of the Ramones.
Heard a great interview with him on NPR's Fresh Air the other day. Well, it was an old interview that they played in commemoration of his death. And interesting guy. Interesting. Something from the 90s, yeah. But he was talking about some early stuff he did and seemed like a really smart dude.
Yeah.
A level-headed guy. He's not your typical, like, who's the crazy one that's in trouble right now? Phil Spector. And
Phil Spector, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, he seemed like the normal one. well, cool. Yeah, listen to that. Coverville.com. All right, so
that's
what's...
Right, 3 p.m. right here. So let's go ahead and pull Cleo up on Skype.
All right. Cleo?
Nobody has any idea about her secret identity.
Oh, crap. I don't know if I have her in here. She may have to
call
me.
Do you see that link right there?
Did you send me a link?
Or, I mean, I put you in the right there next to the tally. I put her.
Oh, I didn't see it. Sorry. Let me do that real quick. Right. Okay.
You're too busy mistyping vacant.
Ah, it it's not working. Okay. Add to the call. Leo.
Sorry, I probably should have.
It's two Cleos. I mean, it's two. What am I trying to say? It's two E's.
Yes.
All right. So let's do that. We won't have to do this tomorrow. So we'll be all right. Okay. Here we go. Found her.
Cool.
Adding her to the phone call.
Trying this out, folks. Yeah. New way to do this.
It's the beta, everybody. Cleo, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on with you guys?
Doing what we do.
I licked an unjunked M&M for you today.
I saw that. I was very excited.
Gross.
You know me and my chocolate.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's take a moment to make another shout out to Viking Lass, who is my nerdtacular roommate.
Yeah.
Heal it up, sister. Yeah. We've got things to do.
Close up that
people
wound.
To freak out. All right, so Scott gets 2 points for being slightly creepy with the warm pillow story.
Okay.
And I'm going to make people work for the points.
Okay.
Don't offer me crap to lick. All You're going to have to work for them. Right. The winner today is Snowman with 3 points for commenting on the Lady Diana story by noting that it took a queen to sneak a princess into a gay bar.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Well done.
All right.
You are truly the perfect choice for this role.
Yeah, I call great success is what I say about this. So good job, Cleo. We'll do this again tomorrow. You'd be around for us?
Yeah, I should be.
Bye now.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Yes. I
love
it.
The way that works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's get out of here then. Got a song for me? Something to, I don't know, put me to sleep before I have to talk to Blizzard?
I do. This one is going out to Vro Baby, our Indian listener, TMS fan. Dear Shanana, and more specifically Bowser, 16 years ago, my oldest kid, Cedric, was born, and even though it has been a true challenge, it is one I'm willing to take on every day. He, like his younger brother, has been diagnosed with Asperger's. And no, that doesn't mean he has a Big Mac on his butt. He is a thoughtful kid who is doing the absolute best he can every day with school, chores, and an older girlfriend. Eek. To help celebrate. I'm trying to abbreviate to get through this email. To help celebrate his turning of driving and working age, how about a cover song for his favorite musician, Weird Al Yankovic? Thanks, and may your drops be ever epic, Vro Baby, the TMS Native America. That takes too long. The TMS feather.
We'll take the short one.
That's right. So he had a recommendation for Laura Barrett, "Smells Like Nirvana," which is a cover of Weird Al Yankovic's cover of "Smells Like Teen Spirit," and it's a little tougher to. I don't think that song is for all ears. It's basically a girl in a marimba doing a cover of Weird Al Yankovic doing a parody of Nirvana. But I decided to go with another cover of Weird Al Yankovic. This is one that, unless you are a real fan of Weird Al Yankovic, you've probably never heard the original version of. Basically, the story is that Weird Al Yankovic in concert in 2010 was doing covers,
right.
Yeah, of Live and Let Die, mm-hmm. Covers of the song by Paul McCartney and Wings called Chicken Pot Pie.
Of course.
And Paul McCartney got wind of this, and actually Weird Al Yankovic wanted to release it. And he does, you know, get permission for his parodies from as often as he can. And asked Sir Paul if he could release this on an album. And Paul said, well, no, because I'm a vegetarian.
I don't think
that would be appropriate.
I can't use meat in my song.
That's probably
that's the worst Liverpool. Oh,
yes,
man. Me too, though. Both of us lose points today for that.
So Weird Al Yankovic never released it. And as far as I know, I don't even think he performs it in concert anymore. Well, I have a cover of it, so people who haven't heard the song can hear it now in cover form. This is Chicken Pot Pie. It was released as part of a tribute to Weird Al Yankovic that came out a couple years ago called 26 and a Half. And it was a Kickstarter CD that that people put together, 26 covers of Weird Al Yankovic songs. And then there was an actual bonus CD. If you were a backer, then you'd get this bonus CD that had additional music, additional covers on it. This was one of the additional covers. This is Bob Ricci and his cover of Weird Al Yankovic's parody of Live and Let Die entitled Chicken Pot Pie.
Awesome. Don't forget.
Don't forget to say hi to Johnson for me when you see him.
That's right.
Hi, Johnson.
Look for me. I'll be around. And we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Got Tom Merritt, Nicole Spag, and many, many more things to talk about tomorrow on a brand new TMS. Until then, everyone have a nice day, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
When we were young, made a great liver pate.
You know he did, you know he did, you know he did.
But if there's one thing in this world that I like better,
But if this fast food eating world in which we live in leaves you hungry and dry, there's chicken pot pie. Chicken pot pie.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
And that's the story, Marshall.
Gee, that is a story.
Fantastic.